Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Our next guest has written a fascinating book, not just about his life, but what he is doing with it and doing with his inheritance, which is a very significant plot of land in County Meath. The book is called Wild Thing. Randall Plunkett, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute privilege.
Tell us about this plot of land in Meath. It's been in the family a few years, hasn't it?
Just a few. So I suppose, where do I start? Well, the family has been here. We came with the Normans, and the castle was built in 1180. And, you know, the family has gone through 21 generations. I'm number 21. And in fact, we're so unoriginal, we only have about 3 names for men. So we go by numbers. I'm 21.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the land that you have.
So
tell us about Dunsany Castle. And what is it, 1,600 acres?
Yeah, massive. So I took over in 2011. And our family is a bit of a different one because most of the titled folk can sometimes get a lot of anger, you know, but we've always seen ourselves as Irish because we were always very involved in things here. Most of the people who had large tracts of lands were living in Kent or somewhere like that. But we've always been here, and, you know, we have some celebrities in the family. St. Oliver Plunkett, for example, is one. We had Horace Plunkett, who's from the co-ops and did a lot here. And there's always a philosophy that comes with our family is that every generation, we must always honor the past. We must try and do something for the present, meaning something for our people, and we must always prepare the future. And that sounds very pompous and et cetera, I imagine, but the reality of it is it keeps people grounded because privilege isn't free. At least that's one of the main lessons that we're taught. And the way we were taught in my family was always that we had to repeat these things, almost like a cult. And for years, I thought it was very cultish, but, you know, towards my dad's end, the reality of having to look after this place, and all I wanted to do was go to America and date women with face tattoos and drink myself stupid. And in fact, there I was going to have to look after a crumbling house and look after land, and I was not a country person.
But you were prepared for the fact that your father was going to pass, and you knew you were taking on this inheritance.
I don't think anyone's ever really prepared, but it was from the get-go that was always what my parents said to me. You're not going to have a normal life. You're going to have to be a caretaker of this place. That's what they were said. And I, to be honest with you, and I put my hand on my heart, I was very resentful because I wanted freedom, you know, and I saw this place as not free.
How big is the house? How many rooms does it have?
Well, I never go by rooms, but I go by toilets. 22 toilets.
How much of the house do you actually use, though?
All of it, but I can only sleep in one bed at a time, to be perfectly honest with you. So like any normal family, we use the kitchen mostly. There's a lot of rooms that have a lot of dust. Let's just say it that way. But it's very...
But is it also not very expensive to maintain that?
Is
it falling down? What are your electricity bills like?
Well, let's just say that Electric Ireland sends me Christmas cards. I was a young man. I didn't really think about it because I just figured that this was going to be a trap with lots of difficulties and all my spare euros were going to go into a roof that will never be finished. But it was almost by magic the land began to whisper.
Tell me a little bit about, you inherited a working farm, did you?
It's still working.
Okay, yeah, but you know what I mean in the sense a conventional farm that you were doing, was it a dairy farm or was it beef stock?
So in my grandfather's time, he used to boast 1,000 head of cattle in the place. In my father's time, we started reverting some of it to tillage. And by when I took over, we had a little bit of animal. And then we have gradually became completely tillage. Now we're all tillage.
And is tillage
profitable? Tillage and wild.
So. Yeah, we'll get to the wild in a moment, but is tillage actually profitable on that scale?
Well, it wasn't me that was doing the tillage, but I did try the animals, and that was not profitable for me at all. And I must have been the most unsuccessful farmer in County Meath because, you know, my dad had dreams. And the trends back in the 2000s were sort of organic, and you probably all remember that because organic was the big thing. And my father had dreams of us making an organic farm because, you know, the family farm is what keeps the bills going. And, you know, this idea of being organic was the nicest way of being sustainable. But once we tried it, we found that it was near impossible because without subsidies, farming is almost impossible. And organic is even worse without subsidies. So I tried for a few years after my dad died, and then gradually we found something else. And that something else was rewilding. And at the time, I didn't even know what that was. I certainly never read any books about it. And in fact, they used to tell me it was nature conservation, but nature conservation is not very sexy. Rewilding is much sexier than nature conservation. Nature conservation is not like British people going to Spain with sandals and socks on. Just, it's an odd look that only, you know, gets horrified gazes mostly.
So tell us a little bit about the rewilding. What has been involved in that? It's not the entire estate, is it?
No, it's one third.
Okay.
So I should say, the idea was, and I should go back a little bit, because after about several years of organic farming, my farming partner turned to me and said, the land's tired. It's going to need chemicals. Now, my dad died of a very nasty neurological condition, and my mother and I, who looked after him for 7 years as he slowly got worse, were always suspicious that chemicals may have been one of the main culprits. So the idea of suddenly going back on what my dad's dreams were of being organic to putting chemicals that we know for a fact are not good for us just didn't seem like right. And I the idea of it being sustainable but requiring human inputs, it didn't make sense to me. It just seemed to go against everything that was in my instinct. And then rather than doing the chemicals and the farming being so difficult, I said, you know what, let's try something else. Because chemicals, you know, we're adding something that the body needs or that the body of land needs. Just like anything, you need to allow recovery. So if we let things recover, the land will naturally regenerate. So at least that was my crazy idea. So I said, let's take a section of the land that we have animals. We don't like this idea. I was beginning to toy with the idea of veganism, and I was becoming one of those. And that's when we tried the first step to what would later become rewilding, and that was allowing the land to recover. And everybody told me not to, and everybody said it would destroy the land, and I, for a moment, thought they might have been right. But thankfully, we stood our ground, and then it became something.
What has it become?
Well, let me put it this way. When I started, when I would walk out my door, all I'd hear is crows crowing at me. And I always thought it was kind of ironic. It was like the crows of doom. That's what I would call them. And the only animals I'd see were obviously farm animals and the occasional fox, maybe a deer. But then slowly I began to hear things. The deer became, there were more of them. I began to see things. I saw a pine marten. I began to see birds. I began to hear birds. So I stopped hearing crows, and it became very strange because, you know, you hear something every day, you don't notice gradually things changing. But then one day, because I used to walk out the door with headphones on, so I never listened to anything. And then one day I took my headphones down and I actually listened, and the whole place had stopped crowing of crows, and it was wild birds. And then every year we began to have new animals appearing, and the locals were saying that they were seeing things that they hadn't seen since they were children, the old people. And I began to realize that I had tripped on something, that I didn't quite know what I had found, but I knew it was important. And that's when I began to take a lot of interest. I began to watch the land, and I began to see things that didn't make sense, or anomalies, if you like. And I began to watch how the plants and would use each other to get a reaction. I'd see a certain kind of weed grow for a year or two, and then it would be taken over by something else, and how I begin the cycling systems. And this was something that was interesting because I began to see patterns everywhere. And animals and creatures were appearing en masse. And now we have so many animals, and it's become a very hotbed of animal activity and biodiversity, the flora, the fauna. And I didn't even know what that was when I started.
And I suppose when people think of large houses, large country estates, they think of well-manicured lawns and planted gardens outside. You don't have any of that, do you?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll put it this way. When I first came, there was some of that. And under my dad, there was a lot of lawnmowers and rolling of land. And under me, I bring the chaos. So yes, manicured lawns, not so much. We like fuzzy lines, not straight lines.
But this doesn't provide an income, or does it?
No, it doesn't provide an income. However, that was stage two, because once I began to see what was happening here, I realized something. And you have to understand as well that it was at the period of time where the world was beginning to hear a lot more about climate change, because at the beginning it was mostly just a few scientists, and then it became mainstream news. And what I was seeing here had the ability, if this could happen here, if I could see a complete rebound of the ecosystems, this was something that would be valuable for climate change. And once I began to see that there was such an amazingness to what was happening, I knew that this was very important. In fact, this may be the most important thing that I could do with my privilege.
I don't have any more time, and there's loads more I'd love to get into the book, because your upbringing, playing as a child with Ivanka Trump, for example.
Oh, yes.
Then going into living in London, your heavy metal lifestyle.
Oh, yes, there's plenty of that. The Guardian came up with the name that I'm often referred to, even by my friends now, the Death Metal Baron. That was kind of funny at the time.
And you have had mental health issues over the years as well, which you write about.
I had some, should we say, setbacks.
But you're in a good place now.
Well, you see, here's the thing. And this is, I think, one of the biggest problems. You have a choice. How do you want to live your life? Problems come with everybody, and you're going to have emotional problems. You're going to have growing pains. You're going to have heartbreak. It's how you get up in the morning and what you do with your day that matters. And the thing is, I think you have to make a conscious effort to be happy. Otherwise, time goes by and then it's gone. So I learned, I think, not to try and find the best situations in things, and to make myself happy by doing things that people want to do. I try and do them. And even if they don't succeed, it's the attempt that matters.
And it's in a great book called Wild Thing, Randall Plunkett, 21st Baron of Dunsany Castle in County Meath. Thank you very much for being with us today.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.